On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
One other person, of course, of late who has been tested positive for coronavirus and who has thankfully overcome it is the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. He has been speaking to Andrew Marr this morning about some advice for Donald Trump and how the diagnosis has affected him after he has come clear.
8 years or so ago, I had a stroke and I came back to work quite quickly. And I suffered, I was quite surprised, by real fatigue after that. It was a serious, as it were, insult to the body, and there is always a response to that. You've had coronavirus. Have you suffered anything like that?
No, and I have huge sympathy, obviously, for what you went through, Andrew. But no, I had a nasty bout of it, no question.
But there's no long COVID, you know.
Not in my case.
This is not tittle tattle because it's obviously very very
important. It's not tittle tattle. It's dribble. It's balderdash. I'm sure that President Trump is going to be fine. He's got the best possible care, and I think that, you know, he just needs to. Most important thing to do is follow his doctor's advice, and he's got superb
A few less cheeseburgers, that final comment from Andrew Marr as he spoke to the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson this morning. Let's speak to Gabriel Scally, former Regional Director of Public Health in England, and he's a Professor of Public Health at the University of Bristol. Good morning to you, Dr. Scally, and thanks for speaking to us. Before we talk about the situation on the island, because we do want to pick your brain around some of the differences north and south, I suppose the diagnosis of Donald Trump and so many others in his circle really is a very clear illustration of the benefits or perhaps preventative qualities of wearing a mask.
Well, I think that's a lot to do with it. When you look at the coverage that there has been of the inauguration or the event where the nomination for the Supreme Court took place, and all of those people huddled together, not wearing masks, photographs of even distinguished people like Father Jenkins, the head of Notre Dame, hugging people, shaking hands with people. It's no wonder loads of them got the virus. But they do think there is something about elites, I think, that makes them think they are impermeable, invincible, that the virus won't get to them. And the White House has brought this on itself.
Let's talk about the situation here at home, because the fact that the border region has now become such an unfortunate hotspot for COVID-19 is something which has really once again begged the question about the need to coordinate the response on an all-island basis. I see our News Talk colleague this morning, Ben Finnegan, has the latest figures that the incidence rate in Donegal is now 257.6 cases per 100,000 in the last fortnight. Monaghan has overtaken Dublin and is now the second most highly prevalent county, and that's 189. As we know, the Derry and Strabane region, which of course borders Donegal, has the highest incidence rate in Northern Ireland. What do you think that says about the need for there to be better coordination across the border?
Oh, well, I'm not sure what coordination takes place. When the Memorandum of Understanding was signed, North and South, I cheered. I thought that was excellent, just what is needed. The virus doesn't recognise borders, and neither should our response. Unfortunately, I think the amount of practical difference it has made has been very little. And there should, of course, right from the beginning, been an integrated response, not just having telephone conversations once a week or exchanging information, but actually doing the same thing north and south and making sure particularly that the rules are the same, not just the rules about social distancing or mask wearing, but the even simple things like the rules, making sure the rules for the pubs are the same so you're not getting people going back and forwards, the rules for people coming into the country so you didn't have this dodge where you could go in via Belfast or Dublin, fly in and then escape all requirement. All of those things, and even it's simple things like getting the times, the number of days you have to self-isolate, the same. Even the number of symptoms is different, still different, north and south. And I think it's a failure of our politicians to really grasp this fantastic opportunity to have a really all-island approach. As I've said before, if it was a disease in cattle or in pigs, we would have been absolutely on top of this, and there'd be no question of doing different things in Strabane from Lifford. It's nonsense, absolute nonsense. But it requires statesmen and stateswomen to put up their hands and say, you know, we're going to set aside our differences for however long it takes, for the next 6 months or the next 9 months or whatever, and we're going to do this job properly because it's not working.
Doesn't that, though, inherently require there to be a real political sea change north of the border? Because we all know the sensitivities that are there. Northern Ireland isn't going to adopt the same restrictions as the Republic if it means diverting from the restrictions on mainland Britain. And we know that the British restrictions, of course, are influenced by the fairly laissez-faire attitude from the authorities in Westminster. So much as we'd like to think about having an integrated cross-border approach to things and not having any of the anomalies you said, in a practical level, it's never going to happen, is it?
Well, whether it happens or not, it could happen. The barriers that you intimate are there, aren't there, except inside people's heads. Scotland has very much gone its own way. Scotland had as their goal a zero COVID strategy. Now, what they can't do, of course, is control international borders. But North and South could agree, and on public health grounds, agree lots and lots of things that they haven't worked hard at. Of course, there is a political problem in the Northern Ireland. For example, it may come as a surprise to people in the Republic, but the Minister of Health isn't appointed by Arlene Foster or Michelle O'Neill. The sharing out of the ministerial jobs is a sort of a lottery type system where the big parties get first choice. So they're
The UUP chose the job for Robin Swan.
They did. They were down at the bottom of the pecking order, and health was one of the last, was one of the ones that no one really wanted. But the point is that they are not accountable to the First Minister. A Taoiseach would sack a minister if they weren't doing their job properly. It's not at all clear who could sack Robin Swan. And the response in Northern Ireland has been dreadful, as far as we know, because it is the most untransparent by a long way of any of the jurisdictions on these two islands. The secrecy is amazing.
There has been a lot of concern expressed in recent days that the Republic could find itself in this yo-yo sequence where you enter a restricted period or something approaching a full lockdown, you manage to get the cases back down again, you begin to take the foot off the pedal, and then things go back to where we were. And we're already repeating what happened 6 months ago, and we could find ourselves repeating it again in 6 or 12 months' time again. What is the way out of that? How do you avoid the yo-yo? Because if you want to try and keep society open, it seems there's no other way to go about it.
That is not quite true, but it is certainly a big danger at the present time. And it's certainly the situation in England, where their whole testing and tracing, isolating, supporting system is really in a dreadful state after months. They stopped doing it, and including in the north across the UK. In March, they stopped doing any community testing or tracing and only started 2 months later. And the system being put in place by Downing Street, handing out a huge billions of pounds of money going to Deloitte's and to Serco and Capita, all these companies running bits of the system, which hasn't worked. And Northern Ireland is a kind of a victim of that as well, because they're part of this system as well. So if you don't have that sort of fine test, trace, isolate and support system in place and very well resourced and capable of stepping up to the plate if numbers go up, well, then you are doomed, I think, to have increasing numbers. And then the only option you have left to you is increasing restriction. So my view at the moment for Ireland North and South would be just take a big deep breath and look at what is happening now in terms of finding the cases and tracing, isolating, supporting people to go into isolation. All of that needs to be strengthened. We're putting too many of our eggs in the one basket of social restriction, which is very, very important. But the best thing is for the population itself to believe in what they're doing. And actually, one of the few bright spots is that a lot of vulnerable people and a lot of elderly people haven't believed the mantra about, it's safe to go to restaurants or pubs or go out and socialise in other people's houses. They've kept themselves absolutely to themselves and keeping themselves safe. But we actually all need to do that. We all need to keep ourselves safe. But the answer to our problem is not to throw up our hands in despair. It's to put more resources and more effort into finding cases and testing people and tracing all their contacts and following that backwards to see that case came from. But finally, you can't stop this unless you fix the hole in the roof. And the hole in the roof is still flights of people arriving. And we know from around the world that on those flights coming in from abroad, particularly given the numbers there are across many of the European countries, there will still be new cases being imported. So we need to stop that and have a proper, decent quarantine system, north and south, and one that's run together. But I would really like to see the politicians, the leaders, north and south, to stand up there and commit themselves to having one response across the whole island. And I don't think you would get any grief from Boris Johnson about that at all. He's got enough on his plate.
Interesting stuff. Gabriel Scally, thank you very much for your thoughts this morning. That's Gabriel Scally, who's Honorary Professor of Public Health at the University of Bristol.